Welcome to episode 18 of the Tag Teamers podcast, the best podcast in the world. We've been the best since day one. For this episode, we're going to go over everything that happened from Friday Night SmackDown last night. So what would you like to kick it off with?
Let's start with the Bloodline talking with Nick Aldis. Tongaloa wasn't cleared, so then Jacob Fatu steps in. What do you think of this?
Yeah, so obviously it was great to finally get to see Jacob Fatu in his first, you know, in-ring competition, aside from just beating up Cody Rhodes at the end of every single episode of SmackDown. Were you surprised in their tag match? Were you surprised that they you know, like, got as much fight from the Street Profits as they did? Because as things were going, you know, Montez getting his leg beat up and everything, I thought it was just going to be set up for them to come in and completely demolish the Street Profits and just move on swiftly. But we saw Jacob Fatu get super kicked. We saw him get, I think, front flipped onto by Dawkins from inside the ring to ringside. So yeah, were you surprised that they didn't just completely squash the Street Profits?
Yeah, I mean, the surprising part is because obviously the Street Profits had just won three previous matches. So maybe the Bloodline should have squashed them. But granted, everything the Bloodline's been doing has been 3-on-1, 4-on-1, 4-on-2, numbers game. So when it's even, they're kind of struggling a little bit. But I think they want to protect the Street Profits. Obviously, they want to invest in them, keep them as legitimate, even though they probably could have just got squashed given it was their fourth match of the night. But I wouldn't say I was entirely surprised. I think they kind of want to showcase Jacob Fatu in the ring. So if they just had squashed him, you wouldn't really have gotten to see that. I'm also glad that they did put Jacob Fatu in instead of Tongaloa, because, I mean, obviously Tongaloa can't really wrestle. So, yeah, I think it was more just to showcase Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, and he certainly did showcase the impressive skills. While I have plenty of criticisms of him, like, I can't deny the fact that he is very athletic and he does do some amazing things in the ring for a guy his size. All the, you know, all the acrobatic stuff. I feel like it's executed pretty much perfectly and looks pretty effortless on his end. Do you think that, like, them not squashing the Street Profits, do you think that was really by design, or do you think that's bad booking?
I think it was good for them. Honestly, I think it was good for the Profits and for the Bloodline, because it did help, like I said, it helped showcase Tama Tonga, helped showcase Jacob Fatu, and it also keeps the Street Profits as, you know, credible threats. But I think one issue was with the whole thing is that the Bloodline came out last. Maybe they should have started early and then have went through 3-4 teams to really show how dominant they were, rather than the Street Profits do it, who have been a solid tag team for several years. I don't really think they necessarily needed to beat three teams. So yeah, maybe I would have switched that if I was controlling the booking, as I might have had just the Bloodline squash a couple teams along the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. I think that could have hit a lot better than it did. Not that it was bad, but that may be a better idea in and of itself. So you think the Bloodline, we're definitely getting them as tag team champs next week?
No.
No?
Yeah, no. I think it'd be an awful decision to put the belts on them, especially given I think Gargano and Ciampa for years have been putting in the time week after week, month after month, getting over organically. I think this would be a massive mistake to have them as transitional champions after just a month, for a wish version of the Bloodline to take the belts off them. I think it'd be awful. And I think we've seen the Bloodline interfere several times over the years. I mean, countless times, really. And I think it's time somebody pays them back on this, because we don't see other people cost the Bloodline. I think there's a reason this match is on SmackDown and next week rather than SummerSlam, which is another thing I'm kind of upset about, because I was hoping Gargano got on the SummerSlam card, given he's from Cleveland, and I think DIYs deserved that spot. But since it's not, I'm expecting Owens or Orton or somebody else to cost the Bloodline in this one.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to see a member of the Bloodline get pinned.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's what needs to happen. I think they've put their nose in everybody's business for 4 years now. It's about time somebody on the roster smartens up and gives it back to them.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, if they were to win the tag titles, there's no way, there's going to be a problem if they did, because, like, as we mentioned last week, I think, you know, if they had the tag titles and then the next night, Solo, he doesn't win a belt, but he's the tribal chief.
Right.
That would be pretty weird. And if Solo were to somehow win the WWE title the following night in order to match the rest of the Bloodline, if they were to win the tag titles, that would require probably some sort of interference again on his end. I just think it would end up making Cody Rhodes look terrible. So, like, no matter what, there would be a real weakness or a trade-off in that storyline. So I think the best thing is for them to not win the tag titles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be right for DIY anyways, you know, like, never mind the Bloodline. They've had the belts for, what, 3-4 weeks now? It'd be such a weird move, you know, in their second title defense to take it off already. I just don't think that's what the tag division needs. I don't think that's what the Bloodline needs. Obviously, they're the major point of SmackDown week after week. I don't think they need the tag team titles. And especially to a team that, you know, Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu, at the end of the day, we've seen them wrestle as a tag team in one match. And that was the match where they beat the Profits. It's kind of weird to put the tag titles on them that quick, in my opinion. Honestly, it could even be Jimmy Uso that screws them. I don't know. But I think somebody's going to cost them somehow, some way. Do you think this match maybe should have made the SummerSlam card or no?
It could go either way for me. Probably just because I feel like they're part of the biggest storyline, arguably, certainly on SmackDown. But I really don't have a problem with it being on SmackDown, especially if they're going to lose.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with it too. I don't have an issue with Raw and SmackDown getting big matches here and there, you know, title defenses. My only issue is I think the tag titles, at least one set, should have made the SummerSlam card. I had said that a few weeks ago. We haven't had tag titles on the line on a PLE since Mania, so I was hoping to see something different there. But ultimately, I'm not going to complain too much. What about anything else stick out from the Gauntlet other than the Bloodline, the Street Profits?
Not really, honestly. I mean, we all knew it was just building up to let the Bloodline come in and win the Gauntlet. I don't know, solid showing from the Street Profits, I guess. That's pretty much all you can say.
Yeah, the only thing that sticks out to me is I was happy Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin, they got a win in the first match, at least. Other than that, nothing really too noteworthy.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of just the Bloodline Street Profits show, rightfully so, to set up the tag match next week. We also got the women's tag match confirmed for next week. With Bianca and Jade challenging Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. Do you think we're getting new champs there?
Yeah, I think probably put the gold back on Jade and Bianca. That's the way it should be. You know, I mean, they're just, you know, they're too dominant. They're being built up in a way that kind of have to.
Yeah, I mean, the tag titles are just kind of floating unless they're on them anyways. Those are the only two in the tag division right now that can put any meaning on the belts. I'm kind of surprised it didn't make the SummerSlam card as well, at least the pre-show. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely getting the belts back next week, and I think they should. Yeah, it'll start putting the tag titles, you know, in a better spot, because Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, I mean, they're obviously just not really doing much. They got the titles just because it was in Scotland. You know, they're Scottish. They did it for the cheap pop, and then, you know, that's all they cared about was that night. Since then, they've just kind of moved on.
Yeah, it gives the tag titles some prestige again. And, I mean, as we all know, Jade is just going to be built and built and built, so that will help her in that regard. And, Yeah, I mean, did you think anything really of the actual segment tonight, or not really? I mean, not much happened.
Yeah.
Super basic, but I mean, Jade's strength is just ridiculous.
Yeah, not much, you know, just setting it up for next week. Nothing big really stuck out to me, but yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see them getting the tag titles back. Speaking of women, the women main event of the show, also in the tag match, with Nia pinning Bayley in the tag match. What do you think of that?
In terms of like Bayley eating a pin on SmackDown?
Yeah, by Nia too.
Yeah. Well, since there's interference, you know, I didn't really think a whole lot of it. Like, I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I initially thought Meechin was going to eat the pin. That's, you know, that's kind of why I thought she was in the match. But, yeah, I mean, it ended up being Bayley. You know, makes Nia look a little more credible, a little more threatening for the match. Obviously, earlier in the night, too, when we see Nia and Tiffany backstage, Nia says she's going to give her a new briefcase, which is a different direction than I thought they were going to go. I thought Tiffany was going to bring it herself. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to bring up. Exactly that. Just the fact that Tiffany's not going to just magically appear with a new fresh pink briefcase or anything like that. Nia's going to give it to her herself as a gift, basically. So does that change anything you think is going to happen at SummerSlam?
It definitely kind of makes things interesting, because if Tiffany threatens the cash in, as we talked about, and maybe that's what costs Nia, is Nia still going to want a gift or something? Probably not, right? So I would imagine, honestly, it might help Tiffany just, you know, help Nia win. That's might be what it leads to. Or even if Nia loses without Tiffany playing a role in the match, I would imagine she's going to be angry and on a rampage, and I'm not sure she's going to be giving out gifts. So it kind of makes me think Nia is going to win.
Yeah. Well, do you not expect Tiffany to get the new briefcase next Friday?
She could. That's possible. I'm not really expecting next week or the week after. It could be either or. They could wait to pull the trigger just after Nia wins. I think, honestly, if Nia wins, it would be kind of poetic that the briefcase that gets cashed in on you is the briefcase that you gifted.
Right. So, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it was. Maybe it will be next week. They didn't seem to confirm that. That to me, I think that would maybe be a segment that would be announced ahead of time, like Nia is going to reveal the new briefcase or something along those lines.
Yeah, I just assumed it would be next week, but yeah, you're right. It would probably be a bigger thing, like, you know, when they have a new belt reveal, new design reveal, whatever, something like that. So. Yeah. Yeah, I think Nia will probably win. And then, you know, it might be like Tiffany helps her win. And then it's like, as a thanks to Tiffany Stratton, here's this new briefcase I got for you. Something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking might happen.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, if she cashes in the briefcase that was gifted to her from Nia on her, that would be some theater. Yeah, let's talk about the Austin Theory, Grayson Waller segment. Waller sets up Theory to get knocked out by Terrence Crawford and then just leaves the ring when it happens. These boxers seem to have an issue with Theory, because we've seen he's been knocked out by Tyson Fury in the past too. So do you think this is where the turn's really going to happen now that Waller left him for dead?
Yeah, I think it has to, right? I mean, I think you could almost kind of see it on Theory's face afterward, even though he was still sort of selling being knocked out. Great sell on the knockout too, by the way. But yeah, I think this has got to be the final straw, if not close to it.
Yeah, if Theory's got any, you know, any intelligence, now would be the time. He can't continue to keep putting up with this. So I would imagine within the next 2-3 weeks, the turn is fully there and we get the official split.
Yeah, for sure. 2-3 weeks max.
Yeah. Let's talk about LA Knight beating Santos Escobar. Logan Paul makes an appearance in the match, tries to cost LA Knight. He's unsuccessful in doing so. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, it just, you know, I mean, helps put LA Knight over, I think, a little bit more. I think, you know, and I mean, he was beating both of them single-handedly until they both started ganging up on him. You think this makes it pretty much a lock that he wins at SummerSlam?
Yeah, yeah. And even after the match, when, you know, Logan's backstage and he gets the interview and he says he just spoke to Mr. Cleveland. I mean, I'm curious who that is. But I would imagine some sort of celebrity that's synonymous with Cleveland. And with that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those things where LA Knight brings an even bigger celebrity to make the save on his end. So, yeah, let's start there. Who do you think Mr. Cleveland is that Logan's talking to?
Oh, man. You got to think like maybe somebody on the Browns or something. You would think it's a pro athlete, right? It's not going to be LeBron, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, probably, I mean, they've been doing the, you know, they had Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. So maybe it's Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah.
For one of them.
It could be. I'm kind of expecting, I think Logan's will be, as I said, I think it'll be a lesser celebrity. So I think Logan's could be somebody like MGK. He's done stuff with the WWE in the past. He's kind of synonymous with Cleveland. And then LA Knights will be a pro athlete, you know, more somebody that's a little more celebrated within the city and makes a save. Because, like, if MGK tries to help Logan Paul and then, you know, somebody from the Browns or somebody from the Cavs make the save, you know, I think that would be a good pop.
Yeah. Miles Garrett.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean,
that'd be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, not to get too much into the football, but like, I don't think there's too many people on the Browns that I would consider eligible to even be a Mr. Cleveland type, you know?
Yeah. I think Miles Garrett does, though, for sure.
Yeah. Right. He's about the only one.
He's, yeah. And I mean, obviously, I mean, he's massive. He'd be perfect.
Yeah, and we've obviously seen football players, you know, over the years. I mean, Kittle was a part of SummerSlam a few years ago. I mean, I would love if Logan was talking to Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good
that
one.
That would be hilarious.
Know? That'd be a good heel
refer
move.
Refer to him as Mr. Cleveland, that's a great joke.
Yeah, so, but we'll see. I mean, it puts a little something on the match, a little something exciting that adds a little interest from my end, at least.
Yeah, because it's kind of a baby version of Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
So kind of a similar arc with that match if LA Knight is going to take the belt off of him.
Yeah, and I'm all for that anyways.
Yeah, a couple things I wanted to go over. So I thought this was the best episode of SmackDown we've had in recent weeks, at least.
Yeah.
And we also had almost no Cody Rhodes, way less Bloodline. So I just thought it was funny how those things were all the case. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just think it's a reflection of how Cody Rhodes is doing as WWE champion, honestly. And when you're the main event of the second biggest show of the year, and we're saying this is the best SmackDown in weeks because you weren't really involved, maybe it's time to get the belt off him. And maybe it's time to get Solo out of the main event picture because he's obviously not doing it. I don't think Cody Rhodes' title reign is doing it. I think there's a lot of interesting characters on SmackDown that had the opportunity to develop and, you know, to showcase during this episode that wasn't eaten up by the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes kicking off the show, ending the show, eating 45 minutes of a 2-hour show.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't get any Chelsea Green tonight. So that was a letdown. But aside from Chelsea Green, who else would you like to see move up the card if the Bloodline are going to hopefully eventually get moved down once this story is kind of subsided a little bit?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have been against seeing Carmelo and Andrade have another match tonight or something like that. Or, you know, obviously they had the backstage segment. They kind of set up in the future that they're going to have another match. There was even a funny moment in there where Carmelo refers to himself as LeBron, and then Andrade calls him Bronny Jr. That popped me. Although Carmelo kind of tried to own that for a second, you know, he said, yeah, my time's now. I'm fine being Bronny. But that was funny, but I think that could have been an in-ring talking segment, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just the gauntlet, you know, obviously took up a good chunk of SmackDown. Otherwise, we probably would have gotten another match. But I would think maybe next Friday.
Yeah, maybe.
Another match. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely no later than the Friday after that. So within the next couple of weeks, we'll get a continuation of them.
Yeah, and it seems they're going to trade some wins, you know, as we predicted a few weeks ago. And that's okay. Andrade, I mean, he mentioned the United States Championship. So I could see this developing into a number one contender for the U.S. title in a few weeks. I'm okay with that. I think both guys need to be in that, you know, that kind of scene. And especially if LA Knight's got the belt and he's there weekly, that's the kind of stuff I want to see. I want to see the U.S. title defended against some of these really good mid-card guys.
Yep.
What about you? Is there anything that you want to see change, you know, with less Cody and less Bloodline?
Like I said, just, I mean, Chelsea Green is one. I am liking the Carmelo and Andrade rivalry. That's pretty much it. You know, I just don't want to see like five different Bloodline promos, segments, vignettes with a beatdown at the end of every single episode like we've gotten over the past 4 weeks. It's not even really a Cody Rhodes problem for me. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, it's for me, it's really a Bloodline problem. And they're so connected right now that with one, you get the other automatically. So that's really all it is for me. I mean, I like Cody. I don't really have, I don't think his title reign's great, right, by any means. I may not be as bored of it as many other people are, but yeah, the main thing for me is just less Bloodline to let the rest of the talent get some TV time as well. Because it's just, over the past month plus, it's just been too much of them.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the SmackDown roster, the three top stars are Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Cody Rhodes. And yet, those are the three feuding with the Bloodline. It still isn't doing it. You know, it's still kind of eye roll worthy when they're on TV a lot of times. That, you know, it's, even we didn't get Orton and Owens on this episode of SmackDown. And again, we just mentioned it, this was one of the better weeks of SmackDown. So I really think that kind of shows where the Bloodline's at. I think, like, Cody Rhodes, actually, he called this the doppelganger of the Bloodline. You know, I mean, I made note of it already, but this is the Wish version of the Bloodline to me. This isn't the doppelganger. This is nothing like the original Bloodline. The original Bloodline, when they were on screen, everybody loved it. It was easily the best segment of the night. It wasn't just there because it had to be there. It was what the people wanted to see, especially when Sami Zayn was a part of it. It was the number one story going. This is far from the number one story. And they even had to squeeze in that little vignette with Solo after the main event, which was just like so unneeded, so unnecessary. And yeah, you know, he says something about Roman, but it's one of those things where if Roman's coming back, which we all know he is, we don't need to constantly hint at it on TV either. It takes away from a little bit of the pop, even though we all know it's coming. But it's still one of those things where I didn't need to hear Solo say Roman knows where to find me, or he can come see me, or, you know, anything along those lines. I could have done without.
Yeah, and it took away any doubt that one might have had about Solo actually showing up in the ring against Cody next Friday too.
Yeah, which is interesting too. I mean, we get that. I mean, they did announce we're going to get Cody versus Solo, or at least that's what the challenge was, right? It was a face-to-face segment. That's something that I think they kind of missed too within the build of this, which I wasn't aware of it myself until Cody had made note of it, but they haven't even had a promo battle. It's just been beatdown after beatdown. And I think that might be part of the reason why that match has no luster to it. You know, it's because they're not building it by talking. And at the end of the day, it's stories what drives professional wrestling. And if you're not telling this a different story, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. A beatdown is, yeah, it's a story, sure, but when it's the same story over and over week after week, it's just not going to hit for us. So I am kind of excited that we're, you know, we might get something in terms of a mic battle, because I think that's what this feud needs.
Yeah, and I would say one person who I do want to get more time on SmackDown is, like, we need Randy Orton to be at the top of the card again. It's been too long. You know, he was out for, 18 months, and he just hasn't really gotten a chance to be one of the true top guys again since he's come back. So, and we're headed for that, so I think we're going to get what we want. But Solo, really, he's not built for the booking that he's getting right now, and that's the problem. And he's handicapping the story because of that. He just can't hang on this level.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to imagine the Randy Orton turn has to come immediately following SummerSlam. That's what I think, because, I mean, you see the SmackDown roster. When you look it up and down, there's not many people that, you know, should be main eventing shows. It's a very, very short list, and I think somebody's got to turn. I mean, even Owens could be the one to turn, but I think we're going to get Orton turning real soon. I think that's the next direction for Cody. I think Cody's title reign needs a credible threat, which Orton would pose, and I think maybe even the SmackDown following, because it's time, and there's not many people I could see stepping into Cody's next feud, especially if they want Cody's title reign to be meaningful. We can't keep having these Solo Logan Paul storylines with it, because nobody buys that Cody could lose or would lose, and it's just kind of it's hitting the ground. You know, it's nobody's enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we get the Orton turn quick, and we get him taking the belt off of Cody relatively quickly as well. Probably within, I don't know, maybe a couple months. So I think everybody knows the belt kind of needs to get taken off of Cody anyway. So, and Orton's really, he's going to be the guy to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, where everything stands, I'm not against Orton taking it and then Cody takes it back down the road. But I think where Cody was doing his best work is when he was chasing the title. Ever since he's got the title, it's just not been the same. Some guys just aren't meant to be champions. They're meant to be chasers.
Yeah, I think it would be good to have the title stripped off of Cody quickly by Orton, but then they have an extended rivalry beyond that, and we get at least two, maybe three matches out of them. I think that'd be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping.